The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from Christ the King, God our Father, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an old saying, wherever the queen goes, she smells fresh paint. Think about it. Wherever the queen goes, she smells fresh paint. It's far easier to prepare for a visit from a dignitary when you know their precise schedule, when they'll arrive. It's a lot harder when they surprise you. I'd venture to guess that most of us are inclined to spruce up our dwellings and get everything in order when we know company will be coming. And I suspect few among us like to be surprised. As we come to the end of the church year and the start of the Advent season, we hear a lot about the coming of Jesus, not only in anticipation of his birth, but in preparation for his coming again. Only his coming will be like a thief in the night. He will come at an unexpected hour. On this Christ the King Sunday, it's worth noting that we've spent most of the past 52 weeks hearing the gospel according to Matthew, and we've spent the last 3 weeks in chapter 25 of Matthew. Let me remind you, Matthew begins with a genealogy connecting the original hearers of this gospel to their ancestry and reminding them of the fulfillment of God's promise that was made to Abraham and Sarah, that Abraham would be a great nation, so that through him all the families of the earth will be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed. The lineage of Jesus the Messiah is then traced through Joseph, the husband of Mary, and it goes back down through the centuries and generations to King David, and then all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. And by virtue of our baptism, we too are grafted onto this family tree, which means that we too are living into God's promises fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven has come near. But to our ears, kingdom may sound a bit archaic, outdated, patriarchal. It may conjure up images of monarchies such as Britain's royal family and the latest paparazzi shots depicting what William and Kate or Meghan and Harry are up to. Or else we might think of old Disney movies where a princess in distress awaits the arrival of her prince charming to come to her rescue and save the day. Even if we try to focus our attention on the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven or the reign of Christ, it can seem terribly out of touch with our modern worldview. Some have advocated replacing kingdom, dropping the G, with kindom, K-I-N-D-O-M, kindom. Proponents suggest kindom may be less problematic for our ears than kingdom, that perhaps we'll be more readily accepting of the kingdom of God, and that can serve as a reminder of the way we're drawn into a relationship with God and one another and all of creation. Our interconnectedness and our interdependence is like a worldwide web of relationships that are woven together into a masterful tapestry by a relational God who desires to redeem and reconcile us for good. And so as we look back on these past 3 weeks, let me also remind you that Jesus began this discourse by saying, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this." For those of you who've been paying close attention, 2 weeks ago we heard the parable of the 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. We heard how the bridegroom was delayed and how they all fell asleep. At midnight, they were awakened. There was a shout that at last the bridegroom had arrived. Only when the bridegroom came to lead the bridesmaids into the wedding banquet, only 5 of the 10 were there. The other 5 had gone off to buy more oil for their lamps. Pastor Ben reminded us that those who had remained present for the bridegroom's arrival were ushered into the wedding banquet, while those who weren't present were shut out. And last week we heard another parable about a man who was going on a journey. Before he left, he summoned his slaves and he entrusted his property to them. To one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to the third just 1. Upon the master's return, the first 2 brought forth their talents, and they had doubled them. The first brought 10, the second 4. And the master commended them, each one of them. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." Meanwhile, his third slave had buried the master's talent. Upon his master's return, he said, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seeds. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground." I suggested last week that perhaps it was self-fulfilled prophecy, that the third slave was judged harshly for the way he perceived his master to be, and for his unwillingness to take risks with what had been entrusted to him. As we come to the end of another church year, both of these parables have something to teach us about what we are to do while we await Christ's second coming, while we await Christ's return. Pastor Ben reminded us, it's not simply about being prepared, though. It's about being present. And last week I suggested it's not only about being a good and faithful steward of what has been entrusted to us, it's also about what we do with those talents while we wait. And in the time of waiting, it's not simply about playing it safe, but about taking risks. But it's also about trusting that we will not be shut out of the wedding banquet, nor will we be judged harshly for our aversion to risk-taking. Rather, it's more about trusting fully that God's kingdom will come on earth as in heaven, that Christ will indeed come again, and that each and every day in between provides an opportunity for us to be the light of Christ shining in the darkness. And now today in our gospel reading, we heard how Jesus began by saying, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered together before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats." Did you notice that both groups ask the very same question? When was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? And both groups are equally surprised. The first group was surprised by the king's commendation. "Just as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me." The second group were surprised by the king's condemnation. "Just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." I started with an old saying about the queen smelling fresh paint wherever she goes. I wasn't implying God expects us to go all out, as if the queen herself were coming for a visit. Instead, I truly believe Christ calls us to care for the least of these, because wherever there is suffering, you can be sure that Christ himself is present. Wherever there is suffering, we can be sure that Christ is truly present. And so as people of God, living together in faith, we can be sure that we will meet Christ our King whenever our eyes are open to see the very face of Christ in one another and in our neighbors in need. Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting those in prison means we, the people of God, are being called to serve Christ by serving the least, the last, and the lost. For whenever we tend to the suffering of others, we meet our Lord and Savior Christ the King, the one who traded his crown of glory for a crown of thorns, the one who suffered on the cross so that we might have new life, abundant life, now and forevermore. Thanks be to God. Amen.